Good morning. Man, it is raining cats and dogs out there, isn't it? Joe Roach told me he stepped in a poodle. That was you that said that, wasn't it? Well, hopefully it'll be dried out by the time we get done this morning. Maybe I can time the sermon just right so it'll work out that way. I want to bring special attention to you in our bulletin about our Latino ministry. The elders are wanting to start in January of 2018. We've got to figure out how we're going to make that happen. So we're asking for your input, looking to put together a committee that will work on that. So if you are interested in being involved in that, please contact the church office. We'll collect those names and then we'll set up a date and we'll start meeting and try to figure out how we can make this happen in this coming year. So as again this morning we think about our desires, this will be the focus of our lesson. I hope you had a chance to read on that this week. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we think and have been thinking this week about the things that matter to us, the things that we do desire, the things that are really important that we desire, the things that maybe are not so important, but that we desire still. And as we try to discern those things and give our energy to those things that matter the most, Father, this week, ask that your Spirit would guide us and strengthen us, help us to know the things that are best and good, and to remind us of those things in our lives. And now as we reflect on those things in this preaching, ask your Spirit be in the preaching and hearing of your Word. It's your Son we pray. Amen. I think, therefore, I am. Humans are first and foremost thinking beings, aren't we? We're rational sorts of beings. We like to have pros and cons and irrationally come to conclusions about that, those sorts of things. We are rational thinking people, except that we're not. A boy has a desire for a girl, and all he can do is think about her. He can't concentrate on his homework. He can't go to sleep at night. He's just thinking about the girl, distracted by her. His desire is for the girl. And she may not even be very good for him. In fact, his friends may be telling him over and over, giving him lists of all the pros and cons and all the reasons he should not be dating her. She's really going to be destructive to his life. But he loves her. Love is pretty irrational, isn't it? So maybe we're not so much thinking beings after all. Maybe we're more desiring beings. And some of those desires are deep, and some of them are cheap. So you have this story of David running around out in the wilderness, marauding around with all of his men out there, raiding these enemies around him and taking things from them. Meanwhile, Saul is chasing him around the wilderness, trying to catch him. And in the midst of all this, David has been looking after this one guy named Nabal, who is pretty wealthy, lots of flocks and so forth. And David's been sort of surrounding him and taking care of him, making sure nobody raided him and took things from him. But one day, David and his men want to have a feast, and so David sends some of his men over to Nabal to request some food from them. And this is the response he got from them. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men coming from who knows where?" So that message got back to David, and he was none too happy. He's been disrespected. So he'll have respect. So he tells his men, strap on your swords, and they're going to go over there, and they're going to get their respect back. And you can imagine the whole way over there what's going through David's mind, what he's going to say. You've been there, right? You repeated your speech you're going to give when you're so worked up, because David is worked up. And so he's repeating this speech in his mind, and he's planning on what he's going to do. First, I'm going to kill him, then I'm going to kill him again, then I'm going to kill his wife, then I'm going to kill his kids, I'm going to kill his dog, everybody! And you know what happened on the way, of course. Nabal's wife intercepted him. Then there's an episode later on in David's life after he has become king. He sent Joab, his general, out to fight in the war. And all his men, most all of them anyway, have gone out to fight in the war. And David's walking on the rooftop one night, and he does one of these. her glory. And you know, he has to do that double take, and then he has to look again, right? Did I see what I just thought I saw? Yes! And so he says to one of his servants, go check her out. Find out about this girl. And so he comes back and he says, oh yeah, that's Uriah's wife. You may not know Uriah, except that Uriah is one of David's Navy SEALs. Later in the scripture, it tells us that he has these 30 fighting men, and among them is Uriah. So now he's got one of the Navy SEALs' wife out there in all her glory on the rooftop. And what does David say? He says, go and get her. He has a desire for her. Not very rational, would you say? But he has this great desire. Target verified, so he has someone go and get her and bring her back. David is chasing cheap desires. Sometimes those cheap desires, of course, like Bathsheba, are quite sinful, but some of them are not. Like your desire for a jelly donut, for instance. And in Nacogdoches, you can come across those every other block, can't you? Not immoral desires, but they're just not deep desires either. You just want them. Cheap desires don't last and they don't ultimately satisfy, but they're always there with us. And maybe a desire for a car or a new house or a bigger house, or maybe it's a desire for promotion at your job, or maybe simply a desire for a jelly donut. They're not wrong, but they can fill something of a hole in your life. The jelly donut, of course, can fill the sweet tooth hole in your life, but they can't fill the big hole in your life. But they have this way of sort of driving us and driving our lives, and we'll make all manner of sacrifices to have these things that we desire. But sometimes those things then come back to bite us, as it did with David. Had to have Bathsheba, did everything to have her brought over and sent her back, and then tried to cover up things later on. He ended up marrying her, as you know, but the child that they had together died. And then he has a son who ends up raping his daughter, and then he has another son that tries to overthrow him as king. And so his whole family begins to unravel because of this desire, this thing he had to have. Cheap desires are something like an addiction. Gerald May, in his book Addiction and Grace, says, addiction exists wherever persons are internally compelled to give energy to things that are not their true desires. To define it directly, addiction is a state of compulsion, obsession, or preoccupation that enslaves a person's will and desire. Addiction sidetracks us and eclipses the energy of our deepest, truest desire for love and goodness. But we know addiction doesn't have to be something chemical. It can be something psychological. And yet it grips us, it grabs a hold of us, and then takes our lives. Our deepest desires, on the other hand, are the things that are core to who we are and to who we want to be. For instance, a desire for the transcendent in our lives. Go to work, go home, make dinner, watch some television. And we do that day after day and week after week. And then the weekend comes and we mow the lawn. And occasionally we go on vacation and we show up to church on Sunday. We have this kind of nice groove going in our lives. But there's a point at some time we stop and lay in bed at night and say, is that it? Certainly there must be something more to life than this. Because I have this itch, and the cheap desires of my life are not scratching it. A guy named Francis discovered this in his own life. Raised in a wealthy family, had every cheap desire you can imagine, and found a way to satisfy all those cheap desires. As a college-age young man, he was just partying with his buddies, having a good time, but he had one of those come-to-Jesus moments in which he realized, this can't be it, there's got to be something more. And so Francis did the thing that most of us would never dream of doing. He gave it all away, gave it all up. Became this itinerant, wandering preacher, and you know him today as Francis of Assisi, because he had this deep desire for something transcendent, something more. We have this great, deep desire for purpose in our lives. What are you doing here? You ask yourself that question very much. What am I doing here? Why was I born here in this place at this time in history? How is it that I could be so blessed to be born in this country and not in some other country or not in some other period of time in history? Why is it that God put me here? What is it that God wants me to do with my life? A lot of us wrestle with those questions, and some of us go off to school for the very purpose of trying to meet that need in our lives. The cheap desires, however, sometimes distract us from that deep desire. And yet, that deep desire quite won't ever go away. Some people take their lives because they just don't see the point. They've never really been able to answer that question. The cheap desires were not enough for them. The deep desire for us is the desire for love. We all want to be loved. Promotions, big houses are all fine things, but they're nothing without love. And so we'll do anything for love. This is why it's such big business, this internet dating sort of thing, because we all want to be loved. In 1936, King Edward VIII of England abdicated the throne for a woman by the name of Wallace Simpson, who was an American divorcee, twice divorced, went through personal humiliation and national humiliation for the whole country because he loved her. That deep desire. Our deep desires are for the things that are most meaningful in our lives and those things we really live for, but they often get sort of pushed aside by the cheap desires, the sort of immediate things we have going on in our lives. And when those things happen, when those get pushed aside by those things, then we lose sight of those deep desires. And if we lose sight of them long enough, we may end up losing them forever. The book of James talks about people who are kind of caught between the deep desires and the cheap desires. James says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Lord, I really want these deep desires, but I want these cheap desires, and I'm back and forth, and I really want wisdom, but in fact, what I'm really wanting from God are these things over here. And so you have this divided heart. This happened to David. David actually had some deeper desires, and we hear it come out in his Psalms. So he's wrestling with these things just as we're wrestling with them, the deep desires and the cheap desires. He writes this in Psalm 40, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Or in Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Does this sound like a guy caught up in the cheap desires? It sounds like a guy that really has the deep desire for God, and yet the cheap desire has this way of pushing it aside. He's on the rooftop. He sees Bathsheba. And now the deep desire is pushed to the side, and this great turmoil comes into his life, because he's let the cheap desire trump the deep desire. Deep desire, cheap desire. How will you feed them? You do feed them, you realize, one way or the other. Cheap desires are sort of like your loyal dog. You know, they're always right there, handy, right? Always wanting the attention, always around you. Just there when you come home, they're always by your side, begging for your attention. Cheap desires like the jelly donut, right? It's always readily more accessible than the asparagus and the broccoli, isn't it? Cheap desires like the games on your phone that always want to take your attention away from other things. Cheap desires like that show on Netflix. You just can't wait to get home and watch it. That's the thing you live for today. And the more you feed this cheap desire, there's something that happens with it. It grows, doesn't it? And you want it more than you even wanted it before. It might be any manner of things. And so while we have these deep desires that we really want, they're not always at the ready. That's where the cheap desires are, always at our side, always begging for attention. So which of these will we feed? Think about education.
If you're a person that's wanting an education, you say, I have this deep desire for an education, but it's come Monday morning and you were late Sunday night and now you have a cheap desire to sleep in. Which one of those two will you feed? Or your marriage? There was that early time in the marriage when there was fireworks, but now you've gotten a few years into it. It's not so much that way anymore. And now you're kind of in that routine. You're in that groove in your life. You have this deep desire for this relationship, but there are all these cheap desires wanting to get in the way. How are you going to feed this deep desire of your marriage? Maybe you'll be intentional about giving gifts. It's interesting that Will brought that up this morning. And being kind and sharing and saying kind things to feed that deep desire and that relationship. Once the desire drove you, now you drive the desire. So your faith and deep desire, well, you have that, don't you? You have this great faith or this desire for this relationship with God, which is why you're here this morning, isn't it? You want God and to be with God and to know God, and so you've shown up at church. There was a time, of course, you had to make a consideration. Do I believe God? Do I not believe God? But you finally decided, and so you now have this place in your life that you understand who God is, what God is all about, and you have your faith settled. And now you can get on with things in your life. But the problem is, once you get on with things in your life, the deep desire can easily then be pushed off to the side. Pigeonholed. And when we pigeonhole these things, again, we lose sight of them very often. So how will we feed these deep desires, this deep desire for God? Well, of course, you could be intentional. As you're intentional in your relationship with your spouse, you could be intentional about knowing God and hearing God's word and spending time with God and God's people and all the things you might do. Maybe you're reading spiritual books or listening to Christian music and all the things you're trying to do to feed that desire. Or you could ask God, which is what David did in the psalm we heard this morning, Psalm 86. Give me an undivided heart. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. He wants the deep things in his life to be the priority in his life. And so he asks God to do that. I mean, here's this guy that's distracted. He's distracted by his anger. And he's distracted by the woman on the rooftop across the way. But he says, I don't want to be distracted. I want to have this undivided heart and this attention focused on you. He longs for something deep. And so he asks God. But be careful what you ask for. Because sometimes things come into our lives that shake us to the core. They are difficult things, but they are things that will give us direction or redirect us to the path that we want the most. Richard Rohr wrote, some event, person, death, idea or relationship will enter your life that you simply cannot deal with using your present skill set, your acquired knowledge, or your strong willpower. These things will come into our lives, and they come into our lives in all manner of ways. Sometimes God brings them. Sometimes we bring them. Sometimes it's a mixture of both. For David, it's this testosterone-driven desire that he has for Bathsheba. This is the thing that he has to have, this cheap desire now. But of course, ultimately, his life unravels, which leads him back to his deep desire for God. Or we think of Saul of Tarsus, who thinks he has his faith all pigeonholed and figured out until he's traveling on the road to Damascus and God intervenes in his life and blinds him. Imagine what would happen if you were blind today and all the questions you might ask, how you might be angry. But this is the turning point in Saul's life. So we think about people who have cancer or deal with addictions and the things that have come into their lives and the redirection and the deep desire that's been brought back to the center because of those experiences in their lives. They are things that we would never wish for, but sometimes after the fact, people will say, I thank God that that happened in my life because it redirected me back to my deep desire. It's gotten me back on track to what I want to be and who I want to be. Depending on how we respond, of course. blinded Saul could have responded in anger about his blindness. People who have cancer could become bitter about that. And addicts could actually go deeper into their addiction. So this week, as you think about your own desires, I just want to leave you with two questions that you can sort of just chew on for a while and think about the things that are most important. So the first question is this: what are your deepest desires? If you were to just think about the things that are most important, the things you want in your life the very most, that you would not compromise at all, what are your deepest desires? And then the next question that follows it: what are you doing to feed those desires? Let's stand and sing.